My brothers and sisters, today I want to focus on something that I believe lies at the very core of the frustrations and the troubles that we are facing in our own lives and in our world today. In fact, most of our wars, misunderstandings, and disputes have their roots in the misconception that striving for control is a good thing. Now, St. Paul tells us in our first reading that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The older order has passed away, and now everything is made new. Now that means that Jesus' invitation is infinitely more than just an invitation to walk with Him. Jesus' invitation is to become a new creation in Him, to become like Christ, the very presence of God, to see through His eyes, to hear with His ears, to touch with His hands, and to love with His heart. Because you see, Jesus Christ was God's self-description, as it were. His words, His actions, His sermons, His parables, healings, everything He ever said or did was God's self-revelation. In other words, if it's true about Jesus, it's true about God. And if there's one thing about God that runs consistent in Jesus' revelation of God, it's the total absence of any attempt to control any person or any situation ever. If there's one thing about God that runs consistent in Jesus' revelation of God, it's the total absence of any attempt to control any person or any situation ever. Now, with that in mind, let's take another look at today's parable, along with a few other examples of God's self-description. First of all, the father in today's parable doesn't hesitate to give the younger son his share of the inheritance. Neither does he attempt to stop the boy from leaving. Now, on the boy's return, his father, with total disregard for his own self-respect, runs out to greet his son. Then he refuses to listen to his son's attempt to control the conditions of his own return. He threw his arms around his neck, kissed him, and threw a party for sheer joy at his return. And then, when the older son refuses to join the party, his father went out and began to plead with him. Where's the control in all that? At this point, the other son says, "For years now, I have slaved for you," showing that he had always considered himself to be a slave, worse off than a hired hand, like his younger brother wanted to be on his return. Now, in all of this, the father still refuses to take control of the situation, but only reassures his son, "You are with me always, and everything I have is yours." Now, let's look at a few other examples of God's self-description in Jesus. At the Last Judgment, when Christ separates the sheep from the goats, He describes himself as hungry, naked, homeless, and in prison. And again, in the face of Jerusalem's brokenness, sinfulness, and suffering, Jesus wept. Not much control there. Unless you become powerless, like a little child, Jesus said, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And we find Jesus talking about God scattering the precious seeds of the kingdom everywhere without discretion and without control. And which one of us can at once fix our gaze on a crucifix and then make a case for the need to be in control? Sisters and brothers, how can we misunderstand such a basic revelation that this recurring theme of Jesus' life shows us? Being in control is not a virtue, it's an illusion. Now, this story makes the point quite well, I think. Once upon a time, two families came to a rabbi wanting him to settle a dispute about the boundaries of their land. He listened to the members of one family as they recounted how they had received this land as their inheritance from their ancestors, and now it had been in their family for generations. They had maps and papers to prove it. Then the rabbi listened to the other family. Its members described how they had lived on the land for years, working it and harvesting it. They claimed that they knew the land intimately and that it was their land. They didn't have the papers to prove it, but they had the calluses and the sore backs and the harvest and the produce of the land. Now the rabbi looked at them both and backed away from between them. They turned on him and said, "Decide, Rabbi, who owns this land?" But the rabbi knelt down on the land and put his ear to the ground, listening. Finally, he stood up and looked at both families. He said, "I had to listen to both of you. But I had to listen to the land, the center of this dispute also. And the land has spoken. It has told me this. Neither of you owns the land you stand on. It is the land that owns you." You see, my friends, ownership and control are very similar in a lot of ways, because all of us are caught up to some extent in the illusion that we must take control of this or that situation, this or that person. We attempt to control our children. We try to control our economy. We think we can control our borders. We even try to control the weather. Our aging. Our environment. We try to control our enemies. And yes, even our families. And even our destinies. And the list just goes on and on. But you see, attempts to control consumes our time, our energy, our focus, and in some instances, even our very lives. And the situation or the person that we are attempting to control end up controlling us instead. Jesus, on the contrary, wants us to follow God's own lead and refuse to be deceived into chasing after the illusion of control. Because it is in letting go of our need to control that you and I finally discover the infinite, the almighty, and the everlasting power of love. And if anyone tries to convince you that God is in control, don't believe it. God is not in control. God is in love. Anyone who doesn't believe that has missed the whole point. Not only of today's parable, but most of the rest of Jesus' teachings as well. God is not in control. God is in love with you and with me.